Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every Thursday at 3 o'clock, Brent Musburger, the legend, our VEASAN partnership with The Score. You hear their action updates in the 2 and 5 o'clock hour of the show. You can hear Brent Musburger's show, My Guys in the Desert, Sirius Channel 204, VEASAN.com. Brent Musburger back with us on The Score. Didn't work out so hot last week with Mendelsohn, did it, Brent?
Did that horse finish yet? Has he crossed that finish line? What happened to that? You know, dumb me. I thought I was in a NASCAR race when I started the opening. 14, he got crushed three times, once at the start. And then he said, you know, listen, I live on grass and beautiful Ireland. What the hell am I doing in this Kentucky slop? And he said, I'm just going to bury my boy's money, and he did exactly that. But don't give up on that horse. He'll be back.
We won't.
Same track.
Yeah, we won't.
The Breeders'
we'll
Cup.
Be looking. Did you happen to catch Bob Baffert? And while Bob Baffert trains the winning horse, Justify wins. That's a Baffert horse. But did you hear him whining 90 minutes before post time about the conditions, suggesting they should have run the race 2 hours earlier?
Oh, yeah. You know. But that's Baffert. He's got himself the built-in alibi, and then Mike Smith got Justify out beautifully. Listen, Justify's a hell of a horse. And with a lightning opening quarter, he was still able to win going away. Looks like clearly the class of the field. And we'll see what happens coming up in the second leg. I don't know if we make any money trying to beat him. You're not going to make any money betting on him. But we always pull for Justify to get to the Belmont and have a shot at the Triple Crown. There'll be some fresh shooters, but so the Cubs and the White Sox boys, they begin tomorrow. Is that right?
That's correct. And interleague play still gets my partner just a little bit juiced up.
I get excited for it, Brent. Why not?
Yeah. No, it's great. The only thing we need to do is that National League has got to get rid of that automatic out. They've got to go to the DH. Only the National League and the Japanese Central League still cling to the theory that watching managers call a bunt play is something that today's fan wants to watch. Come on!
Amen. And especially for the Cubs, because they've got a DH that has to play left field in Kyle Schwarber.
You got it. Schwarber should be out of left field. He should be the Cubbies DH, batting fifth. You know, that's where he belongs.
Brent Musburger with us on The Score, our partnership with VEASAN. You can hear his show, My Guys in the Desert, Sirius Channel 204. Did you have any action on Sixers-Celtics last night? Because Marcus Smart making a free throw that he was trying to miss that ended up covering the 1.5-point spread, that was an all-timer, Brent.
It was. I did not have action on the game. But I was clearly yelling at my wife, Arlene. Arlene, you won't believe what just happened, okay? And, I mean, I've never seen a miss, bang, 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 through the hoop, and let's cover the number, okay? Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. They're still talking about it all over the sports books and on VSIN all day long. It is the number one topic as the Celtics get ready to host the Cleveland Cavaliers best of seven series. That'll start Monday. And that's going to be a whopper of a series, lads. There'll be a lot of action. I will be betting on this one, though. I will take a shot on the underdog to win the series. The Celtics are at plus 245 here at the South Point, plus 250 elsewhere around town. I don't see the Cavaliers, except for you-know-who, as being clearly dominant in this series. So I'll take a roll with the underdog and hope that the Celtics don't go all Mendelsohn on me, if you know what I mean.
That's a nice price at 250. It's hard to pass it up.
Indeed, lads. I can't pass up a price.
Brent, Who is the best basketball player you've ever seen?
Michael Jordan.
Anything LeBron could do to change that?
Listen, the thing is, I'm an old guy, you know, so I always remember things in the past. The best way to put it is, the best basketball player of this particular generation right now is LeBron James. The best basketball player of the last generation, Michael Jordan. And you can keep on going back. We go all the way back to Russ on the great Boston Celtic teams. And so many people listening to you now never even watched the great Bill Russell and those Celtic teams. Don't even know the names. Casey Jones, Sam Jones, John Havlicek. It is, you know, it's a good barroom argument, I guess. But it goes nowhere when you really think about it. Right now, if you're trying to make money, you're just hoping that that very competent Celtic coaching staff comes up with a way to at least keep LeBron under control. If you can keep him in the 30s and not in the 40s, you've at least got a chance because you know what you're up against with him. He's an unstoppable force. He's doing a great job with the Cavaliers. But I used to sit courtside, call those games on ESPN radio, covered Michael when he was at North Carolina and later with the Bulls. So I would never come off that spot just simply because I remain so loyal to him. Hey, I ran into O.J. Simpson the other night. How about that?
Oh, my.
Oh, I didn't. I was going to ask you for a Michael Jordan story, but now I want to know what happened with you and O.J.
you never know how quickly I can change the subject. But my wife and I were in a restaurant up here in Summerlin, and I said, as I looked over, Arlene, that's O.J. To which I got up and walked over, and he looks at me with a big smile and says, hey, you remind me of my youth. And I said, you should be so lucky. You know what I'm saying? So we chatted a little bit. He's going to live in Las Vegas. He's not going to move back in Florida. He was having a cocktail. He posed for pictures with some folks who came by. He was very nice and very cordial, and I didn't have the heart to remind him that if the glove doesn't fit, you still must acquit. You know what I'm saying, boys?
Yeah, sure. That would be very awkward.
Middle name, if you know what I mean. And that girl from Alabama is still beautiful. Oh, by the way.
Roll damn tide.
Roll damn tide. Indeed.
You know, when we had Brent on last week, and before we got to Mendelsohn and other thoughts, he comes out by chiding us about the Blackhawks' disappearance from the playoffs. And there's a game 7 tonight in the Western Finals. The Nashville Predators, a slight favorite over the Winnipeg Jets. Does anybody really... I mean, other than diehards, does anybody really move much on the NHL in Vegas, Brent?
They've had a record-breaking year as far as wagering is concerned on the National Hockey League, and it's all because of the Vegas Golden Knights. Sure. Nobody paid any attention to betting on hockey. Well, there were those diehards during the season, and maybe you'd take a little bit of a shot during the Stanley Cup Final. But every house in town has had more hockey wagering than any time in its history, simply because of what the Vegas Golden Knights have done. And if the Vegas Golden Knights go on and win the Stanley Cup, the liability around the sportsbooks here in Las Vegas is upwards of $10 million. The station's casinos would lose $1 million themselves, because what happened when they put the numbers out at 500, 300, 200 to 1, people said, let me drop a 20 down. Some guys even dropped $100 down. Hey, I'll have a souvenir on their team's first year. And lo and behold, those souvenirs could turn into real gold. There is an awakening about the National Hockey League. Hey, Jimmy Vaccaro, a longtime bookmaker, he never paid any attention to hockey. If he was sitting on the porch and a hockey game broke out, he'd move to the backyard. You know, that's his line. But now he says to us the other day, you know, those guys are pretty tough. They're like football players. I said, yeah, Jimmy, you finally noticed after 50 years of making book out here. So the Vegas Golden Knights have awakened the spirit of the National Hockey League as far as Nevada is concerned.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Brent Musburger with us for another minute or two on the score. You can hear the VSiN action updates in the 2 and 5 o'clock hour of the show. His show, My Guys in the Desert, Sirius Channel 204, VSiN.com. So you mentioned Michael Jordan. Brent, have you ever gambled with Michael Jordan?
No, he goes into those private rooms, you know, where you get a seven-figure number up there on the wall. I don't hang out with Michael and Charles Barkley when they start shooting crap or playing blackjack, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you,
you
mean.
You know, the one I was thinking about the comparison, he's not willing to give up on Jordan, by the way. If you missed us 5 minutes ago, Brent's taking Jordan over LeBron James. And one thing James can't do that Jordan did, Brent, is globalize the game. It's already there. And you go back to an era when the NBA finals were broadcast on CBS on tape delay. Without that group in the 80s, I don't know, maybe eventually it gets there, but I wonder if that's part of your thinking.
Well, yes, it globalized when Michael Jordan and the run into the Bulls. There was no question about it. And that's when there was awakening around the world. When you look at the rosters now in the NBA, you don't find a single one without a player who was raised in a country other than the United States. That was unheard of in the old days when I first started covering the NBA. These were kids all from the United States. What is happening is that everybody said we were going to import soccer and that was going to be the biggest game in the world. Not so fast, lads. We exported the game that has captured the globe, and that's called basketball.
Brent, over and under 2.5 glasses of Bushmills a day for you at this point.
I've got to go out tonight. The relatives are in town. Take the over, lads. No doubt about it. Take the over. I've got to hang out with the relatives.
Yeah, I think maybe we're off to a good start at getting that over.
Brent, thank you as always for the time. We'll hear the VSiN update at the 5 o'clock hour of the show. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Brent.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye.
Brent Musburger.
Brent Musburger on McNeil and Parkins. Thursdays at 3 o'clock. Oh, my. I did not see that O.J. Simpson line coming there.
Yeah, what do you say to that?
I mean, I don't know. If you saw O.J. in a restaurant, would you take a picture with him?
No, I probably wouldn't. But I don't know O.J. Simpson. Brent knew O.J. Simpson before he murdered people, allegedly.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying he said other people were going up and taking a picture with O.J. Simpson. I don't know what you do with that one. You go, this is when I ran in with Orenthal.
Yeah, I probably would take a pass on that.
Me too.
Yeah, and O.J. was one. I loved O.J. I loved the big guys who blocked in front of him. I loved the Electric Company. What a great name, nickname for an offensive line. Reggie McKenzie, Joe DeLamalure. Ooh. I get excited just thinking about it, Parko. Let's put this plane back in the air, shall we?
I mean, I don't know where we go from there. Find out. Jason Stark at 3:40. It's McNeil and Parkins. We're live at Coombs Corner. Come see us on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
How about it?
Whiplash!
How about it? That tangent was brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. You have enough things to worry about every day. Insurance shouldn't be one of them. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Yeah, I wasn't really sure how these weekly conversations with Brent Musburger were going
to
go.
They're off to a flying start. That's a good start.
That is a good start.
It wasn't quite that odd last week, but I saw that it had the potential to go in that direction. And it's a guy who loves the precipice, a guy who loves the ledge.
Yes.
I'm all for it. Thursdays at 3 now have become my favorite part of the week because you never know what's going to be said.
Yeah, that was... I got to...
And they were at a restaurant, right?
They were at a restaurant. He said people were taking pictures. Yeah, I'm going to make a pledge to stop prepping those interviews and just...
Oh, there's no reason
just
to. Right,
roll
right.
The ball out there and see where it goes. You have a favorite... Oh. Well done on that one, Tanny. Tanny, by the way, throwing a perfect game. Chris Getz complimenting his production. Brian Urlacher complimenting the production.
Right.
The Roll Damn Tide during the Brent Musburger conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got something special for Coom Dog, who's going to join us a little bit later on today.
Oh, no pressure.
Because we're broadcasting at Ron Coomer's Coom's Corner.
Yep, thanks to our friends for Miller Lite hanging out here. If you're coming out to see the trophy, you can get a $2 Miller Lite. So that ain't bad.
$2 and a chance to take your picture with the trophy, as Danny just mentioned. Should be here around 4 o'clock. Shep's mom got here plenty early because she doesn't know anybody on the staff who could get her jumped up in line.
Oh, yeah.
So she wanted to make sure she got a ticket early for that trophy picture.
Not anyone with any pull, anyway. Even if
don't mean to be bugging these guys at all today, do we?
Yeah. Hey, can we turn on Shep's microphone, please? Or keep it on? Not sure what's going on here.
Put my mic on!
Thank you.
There we go.
Shep wants to weigh in.
I forgot what I was going to say even at this point.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. Broadcast school really paying off. Do you have a favorite random celebrity run-in, by the way? Like, it's just on the O.J. Simpson. Oh, I'm walking through a restaurant, and there's O.J. Simpson?
I peed next to John McCain once.
Really?
Yes.
I met John McCain in a stadium, too. Phoenix Suns game.
How about that? I was in Phoenix also, wasn't it? A Suns game. What a surprise. I missed the Suns game the night I was there and it was played. Yeah.
I was at the game when Kevin Johnson made his triumphant return. It was their version of Michael Jordan's comeback.
Good old number 7.
KJ.
Yeah,
yeah, but I was walking around the corridor, and my dad was like, that's an American hero, John McCain. Take your picture with him. Yeah. I was a child. I was like, okay.
Yeah, he had a lot of security around him. Interesting. And this is many, many years ago. This was when we were in Phoenix the first time Phoenix hosted the Super Bowl, which would have been January of 96. That was the Cowboys over the Steelers when Neil O'Donnell's favorite receiver that day,
Larry Brown,
was Cowboys cornerback Larry Brown.
Got a score for me, Mecco?
Boy, why am I not pulling a score on that?
27-17.
Thank you.
That's why I'm here.
There were a couple 27-17. Wasn't Redskins over the Dolphins 27-17?
Sounds right. Yeah, I think it's so. Two or three of them.
Yeah.
Are you guys done?
Yes, we're done.
Wait till Super Bowl week next year.
I ran into OJ. Yeah, you should have asked if you could borrow his knife.
Yeah.
Your steak.
Yeah. Nothing like a double homicide joke to get you off
really
and running.
Really break the ice.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
And I misspoke, by the way, when talking about tonight's hockey game. And I know it's critical that I correct this.
Yeah.
It's not the Western Conference Finals just yet. It's for the right to get there. Game 7. Game 7 of this series probably does very little for anybody who's not a big hockey fan.
Don't they say game 7, the best two words in sports?
If you like the sport, I think that applies. I happen to like it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators, who had 2 goals and a helper in game 6, and I think he'll loom large tonight.
I'll tell you, I rarely am disappointed in terms of entertainment value when I tune in to Stanley Cup playoff hockey. It's just that if the Hawks are not involved, I rarely tune in. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm such a casual fan that I really need the Hawks for the rooting interest there.
I think 99% of our listeners right now are right with you on that.
But it's kind of counterintuitive because I'm sure it's going to be great sports theater tonight. Game 7, Stanley Cup playoff hockey, got to play to a winner. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure it will be great, but for whatever reason, it's just I'm like almost at like maximum sports capacity.
Yeah,
it's like I just can't bring in another one into my existence.
I've not yet made the trip to Nashville for Predators Blackhawks. I'm told it's one of the best things you can do if you're a Hawks fan. Go to Nashville. I would guess that city is just going to be crazy. Tonight.
Have you been to Nashville recently?
Yeah, I've been there, but no, not recently. Many
years ago.
Well,
it's just big come up for Nashville recently. I think it's second in terms of like bachelor and bachelorette party destinations in the country behind Vegas. Like they've just built themselves a real cottage industry. It's very like tons of live music, very young scene, vibrant up and coming city. So
bachelor parties are now the rage there, huh?
Yeah.
They've not made prostitution legal?
No.
Okay,
no, it's just country music bars, and there's a lake nearby. It was great. I went to a bachelor party in Nashville. Had a wonderful time. It's warm. It's cheap. You know what I mean? It's like one
there's
of those.
A lot. And well, and it's drivable from here if you don't mind a little windshield time, and I don't.
Exactly. So it's just, it's one of those cities. I'm like, huh, good for Nashville, pound for pound. It's like the Allen Iverson of cities. It's like it overperforms.
The Allen Iverson of cities.
You know, I always
what a
said,
great analogy.
I always said that about Kansas City for food. I was like, this is the Allen Iverson of food cities. Like, everyone's like, oh, Vegas, Chicago, New York. I'm like, Kansas City's got a really good food city.
I need to get to Kansas City, too, but I don't know if I'll ever wind up getting there. Cleveland is next for me. Cleveland / Canton.
Hmm.
Sox Indians, just to go to a game there. I got to get to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's in Cleveland. And it's not too far from the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
It's only like an hour and a half
yeah,
drive.
Not too
not
far.
Not bad at all.
Not bad.
I'm floored you've never been to Cleveland.
I know. Isn't that weird?
And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I don't feel like I've been cheated, though. It's not like not going to New York or not spending any time in Hawaii.
No, but you just get on I-90 East and you don't make a turn.
Right.
It was the midway point for my Chicago to Syracuse drive that I would do two or four times a year. And so I was just like, oh, the most exciting thing is that you could see where the Indians play and where the Cavs play midway through the drive. It's the only thing that's interesting.
On the
entire drive. And it's not all that interesting, but yeah, I would have guessed. I would have laid 10-1 that Dan McNeil had been to the Rock and Roll Hall
of
Fame.
Well, you'd think so, and you'd think too with the with the White Sox and Indians. And I've been known to travel to watch my team. The Indians reeled off what 5 consecutive AL Central division titles when they went to divisional alignment in 1995. But I never went to a series.
Well, so listen, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Canton will be bigger draws to you. But if you were just going for cities and you wanted to see a White Sox road game, I would recommend Kauffman Stadium and Kansas City over Progressive Field and Cleveland.
If you were just doing a Sox road trip, I that's not right now as this team is currently constructed. I need something other than Kansas City barbecue as a carrot.
I get it
to get me to either drive or fly to a destination.
The barbecue's really good though, Mac. I'm just saying.
I know it's
a destination.
Well, it's one of those things that lives up to expectation from everything I've been told. There are some things you hear. Hey, this is a great, guess what? It ain't all that great.
Mm.
The barbecue in Tennessee, for example, I don't find to be great. Now, it's not as reputable as Kansas City or Carolina barbecue, but a lot of people say you go to Tennessee, you should get great barbecue. Not really. It was nothing that special.
I like Kansas City barbecue and Texas-style barbecue over the Carolina. A little sweeter, like tangier out there in Carolina, I think what they're known for. So, yeah, more of a Kansas City barbecue type of guy.
Yeah.
You learned what mesquite was the other day.
I did. I didn't know that they actually have condiments that replicate the taste of cooking meats or fish or poultry or anything over mesquite. I didn't know they had mesquite oil. I learned that yesterday while listening to Cubs baseball right here on The Score.
Wow, see, it's an informative experience.
It is.
Who taught you that?
Zach Zaidman.
Zach Zaidman taught you about mesquite.
Yep, I thought we had a malaprop, so I'm immediately doing a search. Is there such thing as mesquite oil? Mesquite sauce is what he called it, and sure enough, there is.
Yeah, of course there is. Yeah. It's delicious. This segment of McNeil & Parkins, by the way, brought to you by Lakeside Bank. There's only one top-rated bank in Chicago, and for the second year in a row, it's Lakeside Bank. Lakeside was number one again in 2017. S&P Global Intel, all banks between $1 and $10 billion in assets. Join Lakeside Bank. It's about time. What would you like to discuss with Jason Stark coming up in a few minutes?
I heard some conversation yesterday afternoon. I actually watched it this morning. But during the White Sox wrap-up game in their little series on the South Side with the Pirates, I heard some conversation between Stone and Benetti on where pitching is going and what we might see more teams begin to think about with a four-man rotation.
Oh.
Given starters going much shorter, given the need to fortify your bullpen, Stone is suggesting it would make sense for teams that could do it to start going to a four-man rotation. I want to see what Jason thinks of that.
Interesting. Brian Kenny on MLB Network for a while has been a huge advocate for just getting rid of roles for pitchers in general and just bullpenning the entire game. Because then you could, in theory, use your starters more frequently.
Right.
You could use your best pitchers if you weren't pitching them as deep into games, and that you could just go specialized and match up the whole way. But if you've got a problem with pace of play right now, My God, if every game you were looking at seven pitchers per team or so getting into the game, like Jason just did a big piece on five ideas that could help put the action back into baseball, basically ways to get the ball in play more. It's pretty interesting. So we'll talk to him about that, the four-man rotation, and more. Jason Stark, one of the best, joins us next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Every Thursday at 3:40, we get a perspective from the national baseball scene and the national perspective of the local baseball scene with Jason Stark from The Athletic on McNeil and Parkins. How's it going this week, Jason?
What's going on there, man?
Everything is good here, Jason. We had Brian Urlacher on a bad sell on a golf course a couple of hours ago. Brent Musburger seemingly hitting the Jameson early. Are you on a good sell and nice and sober for us today?
Not on a sell. I haven't hit the sauce. I think I'm good.
All right.
Excellent.
We have nowhere to go but up, Jason.
Excellent. And we're just jumping about the White Sox and Cubs. Actually, we're not. No one's talking about that anymore. Is everybody in baseball happy with where we're at right now with interleague play? There had been so much discussion previously. Are two series each year between the two too many? They went to one series for a short. Now they're back to two. Is it here to stay, and is it going to remain, you think, where it is now?
Well, I mean, interleague play is definitely here to stay. Right now they have no choice, man. They've got an odd number of teams in each league, so you're going to have interleague forever. Until that gets fixed. I think someday, you know, you hear talk of expansion right now to 16 teams in each league. That would help even out the leagues. It would even out the schedule. I think they would aspire to have less interleague play than they have now and try to restore the idea that it's a little different and it's a little special. But, I mean, to think that it's going away, you're never going to see that.
Do you think there's any momentum behind the idea of kind of the super division? So in a expanded baseball universe, the Cubs and the White Sox could actually be in the same division.
Well, you know, if you start really rolling the clock ahead, and this is a piece I'm going to write here at some point, and start trying to think through how expansion would work. It's hard to say if it's four-team divisions, if it's eight-team divisions, exactly where they go with it, but to try to align them based on current leagues, current division structure, I don't think it works. And I think there'd be a lot of discussion at that time of geographical realignment, whether they ever get there. I don't know. I mean, they talk about all kinds of stuff in this sport, and most of it doesn't happen.
Well, that was why I liked your piece so much about putting, you know, the action back into the game and putting the ball back in play. You outlined all of these things, that conversations that have happened at high levels around baseball, but then you were like, yeah, they have the conversation, and then they kind of dismiss it. In your reporting of that piece at The Athletic, and people should go read it, it's long and expansive, I don't want to go over the entire thing now, did you get the sense that they were maybe closer to any of those suggestions in particular, or are all of them tabled for now?
They're not close to anything. I suggested in a piece I wrote a couple of weeks ago, I think right now, given the current state of the relationship between the union and the owners, they would have a hard time agreeing on which Starbucks they should go get coffee at. And so that's a big problem. But then beyond that, if you're gonna try to change the rules of the sport in order to get more balls in play, whether that means doing something to the shift or changing the strike zone or changing the baseball or a lot of this stuff that I have in here, you'd have to get 23 owners to agree to it, and that has proven to be incredibly hard too. And so they've got a competition committee. They cooked up a lot of the ideas that I wrote about, but what they've mostly decided is to tinker around the edges and hope that the sport adjusts naturally. One of the most interesting parts of this to me was the discussion about the shift. When I started out, I didn't think that limiting the shift would be an idea to put more balls in play, since you use a shift to deal with balls that already are in play. But it became clear that because of the shift, players are trying to lift the ball. They're into launch angle. They're into these uppercut swings. And you know what uppercut swings produce? Yeah, they hit. They produce home runs. They produce balls in the air. But what they really produce is swings and misses. And so in order to get the line drive swing back, you probably do have to mess with the shift.
Well, and I, the point that I loved in there was the comp to basketball and illegal defense. Because, you know, at first blush, I can understand a team saying, no, don't tell me where to align my defensive players. We have analytics. We have spray charts. So we know where a guy's going to hit. We should be able to defend Anthony Rizzo however we want to. But when you go through it and you say, well, no, in football, you have to line up seven guys on the line of scrimmage every play. You can do whatever you want within the formation, but seven guys have to be on the line. Or in basketball, you can't be in the lane for more than 3 seconds without being an arm's length away from someone. Like, limitations go in to all sports to enhance the entertainment product. So to me, that one made all the sense in the world. And I guess as someone who would like there to be more action in baseball, it's kind of frustrating that your conclusion is, yeah, they acknowledge that there are ways that they can make this better, but don't hold your breath on anything to actually get done.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right on both of those counts. The other sports are more aggressive about making these kinds of changes than baseball is, and the other sports do impose rules on who has to stand where. It happens all the time. And baseball, you know, there's just so many people who think this is the way we've always done it. Let's keep doing it that way. And yet the game, because of information, is changing and evolving at this warp speed rate before our eyes. And, you know, John Charles even admits in this piece I write that they didn't see this coming, didn't see the strikeout home run explosion coming. And because of that, I think it really behooves them to do something about it. And one of the cool parts of reporting this was how energized people got when I brought these ideas up. And, you know, I heard, like, that's on both sides, but there's a conversation here that I think is just waiting to be had, and I hope somebody really pushes this envelope so that they actually have it.
I must be one of the few guys who enjoys strikeouts. I retweeted the Max Scherzer 15 strikeouts in 15 seconds. I have no vested interest in Max Scherzer. I thought it was a cool piece of 15-second video, but everybody's all about pace of play, and baseball keeps reminding us they're concerned about pace of play. Just play the game is my take, but I'm an old guy, Jason.
Well, you know what, Dan? I love strikeouts myself. And, you know, the closest thing that baseball has got to putting the ball in Michael Jordan's hands 100 times is the great starting pitcher, Max Scherzer, on the mound, just blowing everything in his arsenal past the best hitters on earth. That's tremendous entertainment. There's no doubt that it is. But you know what's not that entertaining is the starter comes in and strikes out seven in 5 2/3. And then six different relievers come in, and you know they get the last, what, 4 1/3 and strike out seven more. That's not that exciting, I don't think. The lore of baseball is not built around that. And so that's another idea that came up is, what should we do about all those relief pitchers marching into the game? Maybe they should have to stick around for more than one hitter. Maybe that would be good for pace of game, and it would be good for hitters, too.
Steve Stone in the White Sox telecast yesterday, Jason was talking about the idea with starters going fewer innings, why not go to four-man rotations? Do you think that's a conversation several clubs are having or will have?
Well, I mean, the Rays are doing it right now. They've got four starters, and then they do a bullpen day. And the Rockies tried it a few years ago. And you know the problem with trying to go to a four-man rotation is, like, the pitchers themselves have grown up in a world where they think they're supposed to at least have the constitutional right to win a game. You know, like, on our level, we don't look at wins the same. But the guys who actually go out there and pitch every night, I think they should be allowed to go 5 or 6 or 7. And if we're going to go to a four-man rotation with really strict pitch counts, and you come out of the game after like 90 pitches, even if you're throwing a no-hitter up through 4 2/3 innings, that is really difficult to pull off. And that's what happened when the Rockies did it. The thinking was totally sound and scientific and logical, but the pitchers psychologically couldn't deal with it. And so you got to remember that the human beings play the game. So changes like this are really hard to pull off.
We're talking to Jason Stark from The Athletic. I want to take a right turn here, Jason. With Cubs and Sox, the Eloy Jimenez-Jose Quintana trade is being discussed again. And we had Chris Getz on earlier, director of player development for the Sox, and I asked him for an Eloy Jimenez player comp, and he doesn't want to do it. But I'm curious, from the people that you talk to in the game, who does he comp to and what is his ceiling? Because he's being relied on to be, if not the face, one of the two or three faces of the White Sox future when they become good.
Boy, I have to think about this one. I mean, he is a dynamic athlete, right? And like, I don't think that Mookie Betts is exactly the right comp. That's not quite it. But I mean, I think if everything were to go well, we, you know, would be something along those lines. A guy who's a great defender, is one of the most athletic players on the field, is going to flash power, is going to, you know, show up on the web jam reels. Ronald Acuna, maybe a little of that in there. I'm just talking off the top of my head. This is not a scouting comp, but I mean, there's just an aura that surrounds Eloy Jimenez that you don't hear with every player.
So it's because my producer just handed me, you know, young Jermaine Dye. The comp isn't even necessarily as important as, like, people in baseball think he is a future MVP caliber player, right? Like, that's the ceiling that we should be discussing with?
I think future star, future multi-time all-star, I think you hear that. You know, the future MVP. Like, our definition of MVP changes every 2 weeks now, but you get the idea.
And then I wanted to ask you this, too, because you're a baseball romantic, and we're not as attached to the national scene when we're following two teams locally. What was your favorite thing you saw in baseball in the past week?
It's been quite a week. You know, I'm sitting here writing my column for tomorrow about all the wild stuff that happened this week. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time focusing on no hitters in two different countries, a guy who got no outs on the same night as another guy got no hits. But I'll tell you the thing that has gotten me the most excited, and I guarantee you never saw it. Shohei Ohtani at Coors Field the other day, taking batting practice, hit a ball over the third deck. And I've been working with people today to try to estimate how far it went. And the last I heard, I got 517 feet. And I just want you to think about this. This guy throws a baseball 101 miles an hour, and he hit a baseball this week 517 feet. I talked to Ryan Stilborgs, the Rockies broadcaster who played for them, just watched a ton of BP, said he's never seen a ball hit there or seen the ball hit like that. This is a real human being who does this stuff. I mean, I'm just obsessed with Shohei Ohtani. I plead guilty, but I can't help it, man.
That home run, batting practice or otherwise, very impressive. But it's not Kyle Schwarber blowing out his shoe, falling down and getting up and making a catch.
That's true.
That happened this past weekend.
That's true. Put that in your column if it's not already there, Jason.
Yeah, the degree of difficulty of blowing out your shoe and making the catch, probably higher than hitting a baseball 517 feet, but I'll get back to you on that.
Thanks, Jason.
Jason Stark from The Athletic. We'll talk to you next week, Jason.
See you guys.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is cigar. Text cigar to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is cigar, C-I-G-A-R, to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
Ron Coomer's going to join us in just a little bit. We're here until 6 o'clock with Miller Lights in Lockport at Coombs Corner.
That's correct. He'll join us sometime in the 4 o'clock hour once he gets the World Series trophy all set up for all of his guests at the grand opening party of Coombs Corner. In the meantime, you're gonna tell us a little story.
I have some media news that I want to share with the listeners.
Okay.
It aggravates me as somebody who wants to get back to loving the Bears.
Okay, we'll get into that. This previous segment brought to you by U.S. Waterproofing. Searching for a solution to a damp and musty crawl space? Visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. We're McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.